Arizona's news station, KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
So, happening as we speak, President Trump having a bit of a cabinet meeting with cameras present.
My wife, our first lady, is down now at the border because it really bothered her to be looking at this and to seeing it, as it bothered me, as it bothered everybody at this table. We're all bothered by it.
Yeah, so we looked up about a half hour, 45 minutes ago here in the KTAR studios to find Melania Trump, first lady, sitting in like a little kind of conference room with...
Like a playroom, almost.
Yeah, exactly. And if you remember elementary school, folks, you had like the bulletin boards.
Oh, yeah.
And this one had a tree, and it had the words, be kind to one another on it.
There's a lot of crepe paper and glitter projects up on it.
And I'm looking at that going, what the heck is she doing? And then I read the graphic below, and it said, first lady at a detention center in Texas. Yes, first lady Melania Trump actually down at the border right now.
We all know they're here without their families. And I want to thank you for your hard work, your compassion, and your kindness you're giving them in these difficult times.
Yeah, apparently, like, nobody knew she was going down. This is something that was way under the radar. And she wanted to see what was going on and find out what she could do.
I'm here to learn about your facility, and which I know you housed children on a long-term basis. And I also like to ask you how I can help to these children to reunite with their families as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Now, to be clear, I thought she was at the same facility that reporters had been let in over the weekend, the one we heard about, the abandoned Walmart in McAllen-Brownsville. No, this problem is so big, I guess you should say, that this is actually another facility in the neighborhood that's a former... What did I hear it described? Like a nursing school or something? I'm assuming
it's called New Hope. It's Upbring New Hope. And it is or was a vacant McAllen nursing home, an assisted living facility.
Okay, so it's got, you can imagine, it's got rooms, it's got common areas, et cetera. And that this place also is full of these children of migrants, immigrants, whoever, who have been separated from their parents and are being held at these facilities. You know, and we had the conversation earlier, and the reality is that there is nobody from the president on down who can explain how these kids are going to be reunited with their parents.
And that, to me, Bruce, now is the big issue, a critical issue. You know, now that the separation of families along the border, for the most part, there's always a but involved here, but for the most part, are going to be stopped for a period of time while Congress negotiates what they're going to do with immigration bills. And to be honest with you, folks, that's what we plan to talk about right now, was the immigration bills making their way through the House, the likelihood of the moderate one passing or the conservative one passing. But this story is moving so quickly that we're trying to keep you up to speed on it. And we'll get into a little bit of those bills here later. But the big issue right now for me is, how do you reunite those 2,300 children that have been separated from their parents? What's the policy? What's the procedure in place for doing so? And what is really shocking is, you try to find these details out, as we're supposed to, informing you, they're not easy to come by.
No. It's not obvious, if nothing else.
I cannot find details of the reunification policy or process for unaccompanied minors. And we know that there are parents who are being deported back to Central America.
Right. Not Mexico.
Without their children.
Right.
Now, the reason why is because the parents are going through criminal court. Children are going through immigration court. Mm-hmm. The criminal case may settle sooner than the immigration case, to which the parents would be deported without their kid. Now, here's the other thing. You've got these 2,300 kids in the last 7 weeks. What kind of records of their identities and the identities of their parents are also being kept? Well, are you notifying other government bodies when the parents are, in fact, deported so that you could get the contact information for their parents and the home countries and the details of those records? And it appears as though none of that's happening.
No, earlier I was reading, and we had the actual court records from one of these immigration courts in El Paso, Texas, where, and I'm going to assume some of you have fallen afoul of the law at some point or time, okay? It's happened. Or maybe you just watch a lot of cop shows. If and when you are booked into jail, they take your wallet, your keys, or whatever. They put in an envelope. You get a receipt for it. The judge admonished the federal government in court in El Paso for taking children from parents and not so much as giving them a receipt and not being able to tell the parents where the children are. Now, they may not be lost, and I'm not accusing them of, that they don't exist somewhere. No, but we know from yesterday, Pamela, we had United and American Airlines saying, hey, don't put these kids on planes. We're not flying them to New York or Portland or Miami anymore. We're not just going to spread them out around the country, which is apparently what's been happening, to the point that if you are, you've been in front of a judge, and let's say the judge says, no, I deny your claim. You are going to be sent back to El Salvador. Says that to mom or dad. They go, great. I came here with my 4-year-old daughter. Where is she? The government looks at him and goes, yeah, we're really not sure where the 4-year-old is. We don't think anything's bad happened to him. We just can't tell you where they are. And therefore, we can't reunite them with you when we send you back to El Salvador.
These are children. I mean,
how's that okay?
It's not. None of this is okay. And as the House tries to sort it out, as promised, we want to get to you a little bit of the information that we can decipher from these two bills making their way through the House right now. And again, it's hard to get information on that. There's so much noise and opinion out there that getting to the facts of certain situations are hard to come by. So there are two bills. You've got the compromise bill and you've got the conservative bill. The compromise bill, which if one is going to pass, and that's a big if, this is the one most likely to do so. At least that's what we're being told. The compromise bill would offer legal status for young unauthorized immigrants known as Dreamers.
Okay. As well as the DACA fix.
As well as a path to citizenship for some based on merit.
Okay.
It would direct billions of dollars towards a southern border wall, make cuts to legal immigration, and make it harder to seek asylum.
Okay.
Now, the conservative bill makes deeper cuts to legal immigration.
Legal.
Yes. And does not offer a path to citizenship for Dreamers. So these are the two bills that are going to be making their way through the House. And prior to them starting to debate it, you had the president that did this.
Hours before the House was set to vote on two Republican immigration packages, President Trump declared the efforts futile. He tweeted, quote, "What is the purpose of the House doing good immigration bills when you need 9 votes by Democrats in the Senate? If either measure passes the House, they'd likely face a dead end in the Senate, where 60 votes are needed to clear procedural hurdles." The president once again called for the end of that 60-vote threshold, something Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell insists won't happen.
Yeah, but it appears as of right now, and Paul Ryan was speaking just moments ago, and they don't have the 218, it takes 218 right now in the House to pass. They don't believe either of the bills you just mentioned has the 218 votes that it would require. In other words, they don't have all the Republicans on board. Leave the Democrats out of the argument. They don't even have that. And they're nowhere near 60 in the Senate. But Paul Ryan says he wants to bring these things to a vote because members want to be on record as voting for or against it. So they may vote on these knowing they have no chance of passing.
Then what?
Nothing.
Then what? Because these bills, Bruce, they're Plan B. This is Plan B. And if you fail at Plan...
What's Plan C?
I haven't heard of a Plan C.
We might be down to like Plan L by tomorrow afternoon. Yeah.
This is a mess.
But this was why, and play along with me here. What President Trump did yesterday, the executive order he signed, was, I think we can add a frustration.
Yeah, there was some political pressure building. Yeah, sure.
But frustration that nothing can get done.
Okay.
When's the last time you heard about a president signing an executive order out of frustration because Congress couldn't get anything done? President Obama, when he signed the DACA whole thing, right?
Sure.
It was for the same reasons. And so the idea that President Trump says, we're going to kick it back to Congress and they're going to fix it. Again, President Obama said the same thing. And guess what? Congress didn't fix it then. I don't think Congress is going to fix it now.
And because Congress didn't fix it when President Obama did it, We now find ourselves in this situation right now with
Where President Trump's issuing executive orders to try to fix it because Congress didn't do it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, history doesn't always repeat itself, but it rhymes. It certainly rhymes. All right. Hey, we'll stay on top of this, obviously, as it continues to evolve over the course of the day. Tonight is a big night for basketball fans, for Suns fans specifically. The number one pick in the NBA draft, the first time that's ever happened for your Phoenix Suns. We're talking a little hoops with Doug Franz, co-host of the Doug and Wolf Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, next.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Thank you. Digging in the crates, pulling up my buddy Curtis Blow there. A little basketball. It is basketball, and hey, you know it must be something special if we're talking about the Phoenix Suns, Pamela, especially if you're talking about the Phoenix Suns in June.
It is something special.
Right?
Absolutely, and it's special when we have Doug Franz in studio with us, co-host of the Doug and Wolf Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Good morning to you, Doug.
I sat the bench in high school. I've never had anybody
really? No one ever cheered for you that like
only on senior night did I ever hear my name on the PA or if I fouled somebody. I was always amazed that if I fouled a lot, I got to play a lot.
You got to play a lot.
So I kind of got the message. Wow, if I go hit that guy,
five good plays a game for you.
Yeah, that's it.
Good work.
Yeah.
It's a big night tonight for the Suns. We've got the draft going on. They got the number one pick. Are they going to keep the number one pick?
Yes.
They're not.
No chance of trading it.
I think there's going to be a lot of trades that the Suns might be involved in for other picks.
Okay.
Not the number one. Number one is done. Don't worry about it. They're not trading that.
But when you say it's done, is the pick done? Do they absolutely 100% for sure know they are taking what everybody assumes, or most people assume, is University of Arizona center, 7-footer DeAndre Ayton?
I am 100% reporting that I don't know who they're
taking. Okay, got it.
But I am 100% speculating that the answer to your question is yes.
Yeah.
It's done, and it's DeAndre Ayton despite his education.
Because they're all going to school to learn, not to showcase their basketball skills
for the draft. There is a sad aspect. That is another show if you'd like my opinions on.
Let them go to school. They're basketball majors is what they are, and I'm fine with that.
All right, so number one pick, the Suns are going to keep it.
Yeah.
You are 100% speculating it's going to be DeAndre.
And I'm 100% sure in my speculating that
I'm taking
DeAndre.
Okay, that's solid.
All right, so let's move to the 16th.
Definitely maybe.
All right. What will they do with that? Is it as important? Not as important, but is it important?
There's a player by the name of Chandler Parsons, okay? This player makes $23 million a year for the next 3 years, and he's terrible.
I was going to say, how do I get this gig?
And the Memphis Grizzlies know it.
Okay.
So therefore, what the Memphis Grizzlies want to do is they want to dump his contract, and they pick number four. So I would love to see the Suns trade the farm. And I mean anybody that doesn't rhyme with Jooker. And then I want to keep Josh Jackson too. And then I am trading. And here's what you do. You have to take this huge contract off the hands of the Memphis
$23 million,
Grizzlies.
Right. The contract goes with the player in the NBA.
And then you have to trade a lot of your players. And then I want to go back up to number four. And that means future first round picks like crazy. Like the Suns don't even have to come to the draft in future years because they're going to trade so many people.
So many away.
If I'm in charge of it.
Really?
And then I'm drafting a kid named Mo Bamba out of Texas.
How can you go wrong with a name like Mo Bamba?
Mo Bamba is an unbelievable kid. Parents out of West Africa, and they immigrated to the country, but he grew up in Harlem. He is so articulate and intelligent, so intense, but he got world renowned because he left Harlem for Texas, and he played at Texas.
To say the least.
So you talk about a culture shock.
Well, West Africa.
Parents immigrate, you go Harlem to Texas. I love this kid, and I'm selling everything to go get Ayton and Bamba.
Interesting. So is this one of these, and again, Doug Franz is joining us right now, half of the Doug and Wolf Show at 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The opportunity exists.
I still
exists,
don't say that right. You nailed it. That was very
for the Phoenix Suns to this a transformational draft, to fundamentally change what the Suns look like moving forward and change it for the next decade.
All of that. And the general manager is
a lot of pressure.
Is a man named Ryan McDonough. And yeah. I don't know how many people woke up this morning with the idea that the decision you make today will determine whether or not you keep your job. Ooh. I mean, this man is done. If he gets this pick wrong, granted, he'll last for another year or two yeah. because we'll wait and see if the draft pick works. But he's fired. He's done if he messes this up. And if he gets it right and Ayton is the pick and he's all that we think, or he goes against Ayton and is proven right that that's the guy, whoever he takes, then he will get a contract extension and he'll be the general manager here for a long time. This will fundamentally determine the next 8 years to 10 years of the Phoenix Suns.
Okay, so in any draft, in any sport, you've got a cast of characters, right? But you also have a talent pool. What does the talent pool look like in this draft this year?
There's a chance it could be the third greatest draft of all
time.
I like the term the shelf. And the shelf is a term that draft evaluators will use and say, on shelf one, there's this many guys. And usually that shelf is three or four. And then you step down a shelf to the next group of guys. I think this is an 8 to 9 person shelf. I think the top three picks would be number one picks in just about any other draft in the last 10 years. And I think the top 9 picks would be a top 3 pick in any of the drafts of the last 10 years. I think this draft
they're
is
all going
loaded.
To be contributing slash star NBA players for the foreseeable future.
I 100% believe that could be the case, but there's been like the rookie of the year this year, I think was picked 9th or 13th. I'd have to cheat and look it up. Donovan Mitchell of Utah is probably going to win rookie of the year, and he is nowhere near the top 2 or 3 guys that were taken in last year's draft. So it's always going to be a little different.
Listen, it's an important night in the future, in the history of the Phoenix Suns organization. And will nights in downtown Phoenix, weeknights in downtown Phoenix, fundamentally be transformed by the players and the deals possibly made tonight?
Yes. Yeah. It's an economic impact to downtown that they get this right.
I would tell you that I would go watch the Suns with Ayton, and I wouldn't have gone to a game last year with free tickets and free parking.
And Your Honor, I rest my case.
Yeah. I would go watch a player like that.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just ignoring you because of the whole U of A thing.
Of course. You had Bobby Hurley in today. I wouldn't even walk by the studio over there. I'm like, not going to walk by. I might flip him off while we're on it. I'm trying to be nice. So some schools are eliminating the AP, the advanced placement, the college classes. What? Why are high schools getting rid of AP?
Didn't affect me.
Yeah, obviously had no effect on either of us. How will it impact them moving forward getting into college? We'll talk about it next on Arizona's News Station.
Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
So, we got to go back to your high school days. And I vaguely remember you got to, in high school, at some point you got to pick classes, your electives and different things. Plus, there were also, for you brainiacs out there, you smarty pants, that you could take, we called them AP, advanced placement classes.
Yeah, I think they, at Seneca Valley High School when I was going, just a couple years ago.
Just a couple.
they only offered like 3 maybe.
Like in a math, usually,
it was like AP,
science, maybe
AP
in English.
Calc.
Okay, yeah.
You know, you had AP biology.
I want to assure you,
literature.
I couldn't even spell AP calculus.
That's why I said calc.
Yeah, I was nowhere near it. But I did take AP courses in things like English and literature. And I think, as crazy as may sound, I think I took AP Chem.
Yeah, I never took an AP course.
AP chemistry because I really liked the chemistry teacher.
Okay,
I think I got a C+, but I really like Mr. O'Donnell.
Well, we know that there are a lot of AP courses that are out there nowadays. If we've got, parents we know listening right now, you've got your kids in junior high, high school, they're taking these classes. You may be shocked to find out some schools getting rid of them.
What?
You remember advanced placement classes like AP? You could get college credit for them. Well, this week, a group of elite private schools near D.C. announced they're not offering those anymore.
Okay, now when we talk about elite, we're talking about like the school where like the Obamas went to school, okay?
So these are hotty-totty private schools.
Hoity-toity.
In around Washington, D.C., in Southern Maryland, Northern Virginia. These are the, they have like, They've been there for 200 years. They have wrought iron gates.
So why are they getting rid of AP courses?
Susanna Jones is at one of those schools. She's the head of the Holton Arms School in Bethesda, Maryland.
Fewer and fewer colleges are actually giving credit anymore.
And she told me students can still take those AP tests, but they are not going to be gearing the classes around those tests anymore. She says the new curriculum will actually be more creative and, at the end of the day, more attractive to colleges.
So the AP program, when it first came about, was to provide advanced credit to a small group of students.
Yeah.
Okay. Now,
you had to like test into it. Not everybody could.
Now, though, you have millions of students who are taking those classes. So as a result, colleges not necessarily treating them the same weight that they used to.
They're saying big whoop. Everybody's doing
big
it.
Whoop.
Big whoop.
So you think?
I'm assuming the Harvard admissions.
Big whoop.
Hey, I took 6 AP classes. Big whoop. Okay. Big whoop. So it's had the effect basically of watering it down. You made the point, and it's something I've talked about in the past. When everybody gets a college degree, it's not worth as much as when fewer people had it. A college degree today is like we look at a high school diploma 20 years ago. Well, everybody has them.
Okay, so if everybody's taking AP classes, they no longer carry the value and the weight that they once did.
Big whoop. As a way to sum that up,
we need to get you a T-shirt.
Big whoop. I'm not even sure to spell whoop. I'm going to Google it. Keep going.
Big whoop. Hashtag big whoop.
Yeah,
and then you could apply that to colleges as well. That college may not be worth it anymore.
Is this how you get? Okay, question. Honest engine. Don't know. Are these AP courses, the ones that some schools are getting rid of now because everybody's doing it, is this how kids get above a 4.0?
Yes. They're weighted. They're weighted differently.
See, and when I was in high school back in the 1900s, they didn't weight the AP courses. Like, if you took AP chemistry instead of regular chemistry, I didn't get more credit for it. I just took AP chemistry.
You must be old because even when I was in high school, you know, like 5 years ago, they weighted them differently.
My valedictorian had a 4.0 GPA. Did not have anything higher than...
So you remember
straight
your
A's, okay. 4 years in a row, 4.0.
All right.
These kids today, I don't think you should be able to get more than a 4.0. Should be the top of the thing.
Okay. Are you getting off my lawn yet?
And get off my lawn while you're at it.
So when we're talking about like college, because there are a lot of parents I can imagine listening right now that have, you know, pushed, maybe encouraged their kids to take the AP courses. They also I'm going to screw this one up. IB Inter Baccalaureate, I think, is another one that.
Not a world.
They didn't have that one.
I didn't have to run in that world. Not familiar with that neighborhood
at all. But a lot of parents encourage their kids to take these courses so that they are competitive on a college application to get into the right colleges.
The idea that it looks good on paper,
sure.
Right? And that you got an A in that course or you were pushing yourself in high school. And so if these elite schools are getting rid of them, Pamela, does it have the effect of hurting those kids when they try to get into college?
No, because these schools have found out that, you know, they surveyed a bunch of colleges, hundreds of colleges, and they've been reassured by college admissions officers that what's important to them is that, you know, kids are taking the most rigorous program appropriate for them offered at the school. And schools are changing curriculum, going more towards like a collaborative, like interdisciplinary learning, more so than what maybe you and I experienced 5 years ago in
high school.
Especially
since I don't know what IB is. Neither one of us can even pronounce it.
Interbaccalaureate? Am I saying that right? I don't know.
Some people just went, what? The Bachelor? What? What's that have to do with high school?
Like, of course she didn't take any of the courses. She can't even say the word.
Exactly. Can we just get back to eating paste? It was so much easier. Hey, I see movies, except for the scary ones, so you don't have to. Big movie opening up this weekend, the latest in the Jurassic franchise. I'll tell you about it. It's coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
Bruce tells you what you need to see and what you can most definitely skip at the theater this week. It's Bruce St. James. At the movie.
Yeah, I see movies, except for the scary ones, so you don't have to. Yeah, I don't see scary movies.
Neither do I.
At all.
Yeah.
No, wait a minute. Not even that one you thought. Last scary movie I saw, Wizard of Oz. Still have nightmares. Okay?
You're a wimp.
But I did go and see the latest in the series, I guess you would say. 3 years ago, the Jurassic Park series came back with Jurassic World.
Can I ask a real quick question?
No, go right ahead.
So I remember Jurassic Park from the 90s, late 90s.
Yeah.
Was Jurassic World the next movie?
No, there was a bunch
in between.
I think this is the fifth. You're going to ask me serious questions.
Sorry, I was just trying to figure this out.
There's been a bunch of them.
Okay,
there were,
sorry.
What? Three old ones,
yeah,
and then
two of the new
ones.
Yeah, so I think this is the fifth. Yeah, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom.
I know why we're here. A rescue op, save the dinosaurs from an island that's about to explode. These creatures were here before us. And if we're not careful, they're going to be here after.
Yeah, Chris Pratt. Look, yeah. Did you just say ooh?
Ooh.
Look at that.
Not for Chris Pratt. I
heard
the dinosaur.
Okay. I wasn't sure where you were going. But yeah, it contains lots of dinosaurs. Chris Pratt is in this. You've also got a little Jeff Goldblum cameo from the original one. Yeah, he's been in these before. Bryce Dallas Howard plays the female lead in this. Basically, if you remember the movie from 3 years ago, the Jurassic World theme park is destroyed and the dinosaurs take over. Spoiler alert, in case you didn't see the movie 3 years ago,
thanks.
Right? Well, now that same island is being threatened by a volcano. And the worry is that all the dinosaurs are going to get blowed up.
Okay.
So think of them as the do-gooders, the tree huggers out there are worried about the dinosaurs and want to go rescue dinosaurs. Because it's not fair that they die on this island when the volcano blows up.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I wish I could say hilarity ensues. But instead, of course, you have people who lie about the reasons they want to rescue dinosaurs and want to rescue them for nefarious means.
Ooh.
And turn dinosaurs into weapons. Okay.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Keep going.
Well, can you imagine, you know, setting a T-Rex loose on the battlefield?
Holy cow. What is Jurassic World 3 going to look like?
Yeah. So anyway, that's the film. But let's be honest about this. The reality is that I think they've run out of ways to tell the story. And Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom is just the latest example of how much of a loose story can we pin together just to get to scenes where dinosaurs fight?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like these disaster movies that come out, like, is there any story until the next disaster happens type thing? And this one, listen, it's full of just huge plot holes that you could drive a brontosaurus through and completely implausible and unbelievable crap. But again, the CGI dinosaurs, it's interesting. It looks believable in that sense. So you do get a little torn. For people that just want to go and imagine that dinosaurs live amongst us and that velociraptors are kind of cool to have as a pet, sure, you'll enjoy the movie. If you're going to see a good movie, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom isn't that.
Okay, well, you touched upon something there that I just think is so funny. Because, and the reason why I'm asking all these Jurassic
Park questions. Yeah, you're asking a lot of questions.
Well, because last Friday we had movie night at the Hughes household.
Okay.
And Riley watched the original
Jurassic Park. Got it.
And
remember that.
I made
the ride at Universal Studios about it.
I remember watching it. It came out in 1997.
I'll take your word for it.
And I remember in 1997, like, the graphics were amazing.
Like, you're like, dinosaurs are real.
Holy cow. This is incredible.
This is serious.
Fast forward 20 years, I'm
you
sitting there
it?
On my couch and watches. I'm like, this sucks.
That is the worst looking dinosaur I've ever seen in my life.
Like, I can tell.
Come off of
like,
it.
Like, this just isn't real. But okay, so I'm wondering.
Yeah.
It's
real enough,
years,
yeah. It's real enough.
They're going to look back at this and go.
Probably. I don't know how because it's, you know, so anyway.
What do you give it?
Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. Understand what it is. You're not going to see a great movie. You're going to see dinosaurs fight with other dinosaurs, right?
Yeah.
On that level, the movie delivers. You'll go through some popcorn. You'll leave the theater. You'll forget all about it. On the 1 to 5 scale, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, I gave it 3.
I can't wait for the movie where they release T-Rexes on the battlefield. That's a movie I'd go see.
That'd be solid. And listen, it's... You just gave him a plot idea. You ought to go pitch that in Hollywood right now. You're missing out.
They kind of did that in the last one.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. But you know, use them like, you know.
It was raptors. It wasn't right, T-Rex. Well, spoiler alert.
Yeah. Jeez, I don't need to go see that movie for the, now, guys. For the, thanks.
You need a refresher, Pamela.
For the three-year-old movies. Yeah, you have to give spoiler alerts for three-year-old movies around Pamela. President Trump signed the executive order yesterday. So now what? We'll talk about it next.